Numbers chapter 22.
The children of Israel travelled and encamped in the plains of Moab beyond the Jordan at Jericho. Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was very afraid of the people because they were many, and Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this multitude will lick up all that is around us like an ox licks up the grass of the field." Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, to Pethor, which is by the river, that's the Euphrates, to the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there's a people who came out from Egypt." This is Israel. "Behold, they cover the surface of the earth, and they're staying opposite me. Please come now, therefore, and curse this people for me, for they're too mighty for me. Maybe I shall prevail, that we may strike them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards for divination in their hand. They would have had maybe some gold and some fine clothes and things like that. And they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. He said to them, "Lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again as Yahweh will speak to me." So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. Well, obviously Balaam had a relationship with the true God because he talks about Yahweh and God talks to him as his prophet. Well, what he should have said, and as you read the Bible, sometimes it's good to ask yourself, well, what should he have said? Well, what should Balaam have said? He should have said what? Curse the people of God. Curse Israel. No way. No chance. Go home. But he says, well, I'll see what God says. Didn't he know what God had said? Well, he should have done, because God had said, "Whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse." That's what God had said about Israel and Abraham's seed. So he knew that if you curse God's people, you get cursed yourself. So he should have said, no, if you curse Israel, you get cursed. But instead he says, well, I'll see what God tells me. He obviously saw all the presents and thought, I'd love to have those. Well, he should have just told them to get lost. That's what he should have done. Well, God came to Balaam, I presume from an angel, and said, "Who are these men with you?" Well, of course God knew who they were, but he's trying to get Balaam to think, what am I doing with these people and all these presents in my house? I've led temptation right into my house. Oh, no, what am I doing? So the angel asks him a question. It's a bit like God saying to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" In the garden. Well, he knew where they were. They were hiding because they were naked. And so this is the question, and often God raises these questions in our lives, like, where are you? What are you doing here? Like this bad party, or this bad, in with a bunch of bad kids or bad people or whatever. What are you doing here as one of my children? So Balaam said to God, well, Balak, king of Moab, has said to me, "Behold, the people has come out of Egypt, covering the surface of the earth. Now come and curse them. Maybe I'll be able to fight against them." God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with him. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." Balaam got up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Go to your land, because Yahweh refuses to permit me to go with you." So the way he puts it, Yahweh refuses to let me. It's like, my God and my religion, doesn't let me. It's a bit like if you've got a thing on at church on Sunday, and some guys at school say, "Hey, on Sunday, come to our party, or come down the movies with us, and we're going to go drinking afterwards." You could say, "No, thank you, that's not what I do, I'm a believer." Or you could answer, "Well, I'd love to, but my dumb religion doesn't let me do that on Sundays, sorry. I've got to go to church on Sunday." You know? This is, I think, the way in which Balaam replies, "Well, Yahweh refuses to permit me to go with you. Like, I'd love to, but I can't." The princes of Moab rose up and they went to Balak and they said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." So Balak sent more princes, more honourable than they, and you can imagine that they had bigger presents. They came to Balaam and they said to him, "Thus says Balak, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me. I'll promote you to very great honour. Whatever you say to me, I will do. Please come and curse this people for me." You see how strongly this Balaam believed that Balak believed that Balaam could really help him. He really did think that Balaam had some sort of power with God. Balaam replied to the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I can't go beyond the word of Yahweh my God to do less or more." Now you see from that Balaam was one of the people of God. He talks about the word of Yahweh my God. "But," he says, "please wait here this night that I may know what Yahweh will speak more to me." Well, again, what should he have said? He should have said, "Look, I told you guys, stop bothering me. Stop coming offering me this, that, and the other to curse God's people. Whoever curses them will be cursed. Go away." No, he says, "Look, stay tonight and I'll see what God has to say." Well, God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call you, rise up and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall speak." Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Well, you see, God will encourage you in the way in which you want to go. If you want to go the way of God and to be spiritually minded, God will give you his Holy Spirit to confirm you in the way. But if you want to go the way of wickedness, it will be like King Saul, where God sent an evil spirit upon him. We read, an evil spirit from the Lord, from Yahweh, came upon King Saul. And it's the same here. You see, Balaam really wants to do it. So God is sort of saying, all right, but if you go that way, it's going to be harder for you to be obedient. If you leave your home and go into their territory, well, it's going to be harder, isn't it, for you to speak God's word. It's like God saying, if you keep on at me about should you go to the party where there's going to be drink and drugs, okay, go. But behave yourself and don't do anything Jesus wouldn't do. It's going to make it more difficult, isn't it? But this was the way clearly Balaam wanted to go. Then we read God's anger was kindled because Balaam went. You could say, well, wait a minute, God told him to go. So why was God mad that Balaam went? Because he was simply confirming Balaam in the way he wanted to go, which was a wrong way. The angel of Yahweh placed himself in the way for an adversary against him. Now that word adversary is the same word as Satan. So a good person can act as a Satan, like Peter was called a Satan. The word Satan simply means an adversary. It doesn't mean of itself a dragon with horns or whatever. Now, Balaam was riding on his donkey with two servants with him. The donkey saw the angel of Yahweh standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, that is, intending to kill Balaam. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the way. Then the angel of Yahweh stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. The donkey saw the angel of Yahweh, and she thrust herself to the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he struck her again. The angel of Yahweh went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right or to the left. The donkey saw the angel of Yahweh, and she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Yahweh opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have mocked me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would have killed you." You see what's happening. Three times the angel stands in Balaam's way. And this refers, I think, to the three times, really, that the temptation has come to Balaam. And each time he's pushed into a place where you can't turn to the right or to the left, and he gets more and more to the position where he's in confrontation with God. And he should really have realized what was happening with the donkey. But he didn't want to. He didn't want to see the angel standing there with a drawn sword. He didn't see it. And he says to the donkey, "I wish I had a sword in my hand and I'd kill you. But there's an angel with a sword in his hand to kill Balaam." So it's trying to show him that, look, Balaam, you're being saved by grace. The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey, on which you've ridden all your life long to this day? Was I ever in the habit of doing so to you?" He said, "No." Then Yahweh opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell on his face. The angel of Yahweh said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times?" And again, the answer to that is, well, because the donkey saw the angel, and I didn't. I didn't perceive it when I should have done. "Behold," the angel said, "I have come forth as an adversary, as a Satan, because your way is perverse or headlong before me." You're just charging into this whole thing. "And the donkey saw me and turned aside before me these three times. Unless she had turned aside from me, surely now I would have killed you and saved her alive." Seems to me that the donkey was killed. Balaam said to the angel of Yahweh, "I have sinned, for I didn't recognize that you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I'll go back again." Well, that doesn't seem a good response to me. What should he have said? This is the question. He should have said, "Yes, I am an absolute sinner. I am so foolish to have gone headlong against you when you were pushing me back all the time. I'm so sorry. Sure, I'll be heading back again, walking. And I'll say goodbye to these fellas from Balak, and I will not dally with them again." But he just says, "If it displeases you, I'll go back." The angel of Yahweh said to Balaam, "Now go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. So again, God is confirming him in the way that he wants to go. And it comes down to a really simple thing. Do you love God? Do you want to be in his kingdom more than anything else in the world? And if that's what you want, then God will confirm you in that.
Will Balak be in the kingdom?
Balak won't be, I'm pretty sure. Balaam won't be either, because he was later killed.
Balaam.
No, he was later killed by the Israelites because he so wanted to curse Israel, and he couldn't get God to curse Israel. He came up with a really evil idea. He said, "Okay, seeing God just won't speak through me to curse Israel, why don't the Midianite women get the men of Israel to come and sleep with them and worship their idols? And then God will be mad with Israel and he will curse them." And that's what he did. And so for that, he was caught eventually and killed. And he's condemned for what he did as a false teacher in the New Testament. Because he went headlong, he was just so maxed out on money, on the gift that they were giving him, maxed out on his presence, really. He went headlong. He just refused to look at God's hand trying to stop him and what he should be doing. So Balak heard that Balaam had come. He went out to meet him at the city of Moab, in the uttermost part of the border. Balak said to Balaam, "Didn't I earnestly send to you to call you? Why didn't you come to me? Am I not able indeed to promote you to honor?" Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I have come to you. Have I now any power at all to speak anything? The word that God puts in my mouth, that will I speak." Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth, and Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and sent to Balaam and all the princes. It happened in the morning that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, and he saw the utmost part of the people. So he should have known, look, this guy is Balak, worships Baal, and now he's brought me up into the high places of Baal. Well, it's like going to that party, isn't it? God may say, okay, if you really want to go, you go, but you're going to be surrounded by temptation.
A party. It's just like a cake with jugs inside the cake, and you eat the cake, and then you get jugs inside you until you get jumpy.
Yeah. The thing is, if we want to go the wrong way, God will push us that way. And if you want to go the right way, God will push you the right way. So the important thing is then that you decide. That is what is so important.